Get ready for it. Coming up on Which Way Is Life, the podcast designed to help you find a healthier, inspired life, episode number 30. My guest today, author and athlete Ellen Jaffe Jones, and we talk about her new book, Vegan Fitness for Mortals. So, how to develop a basic fitness routine, the benefits of a plant-based diet, and tips on how to avoid injury. And if I could quick ask a favor, hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to catch every episode. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Which Way Is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. You get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt. That's real, Real Salt brand sea salt.
Which Way Is Life? Your roadmap to a healthier, inspired life. Bill talks with trendsetting doctors, fitness gurus, life coaches, celebrities, athletes, and other interesting experts to help you find the life you want to live. Get inspired, get healthy, reconnect with life. Here's Bill Klaproth.
Very happy to have Ellen Jaffe Jones on with us today. Ellen is a medal-winning athlete who loves sharing her passion for exercise and eating healthy. In her new book, Vegan Fitness for Mortals, she delivers a healthy dose of motivation with easy-to-follow plans for implementing aerobic and weight-bearing exercises appropriate for everyone, from simple routines for couch potatoes who just want to get moving to challenging workouts for accomplished athletes. Ellen, so happy to talk with you. Can you first let us in on your personal life? Who are you when you're not saving the world?
Well, I am 64 years old. People tell me I look 44 or younger. Just this past weekend, I placed in my 107th 5K or longer race for my age group, just on plant. And personal trainer, certified running coach. I was a TV investigative reporter in Miami and St. Louis, won 2 Emmys in the National Press Club Award, 18 years doing that. And then I spent 5 years as a financial consultant at Smith Barney. And then I started doing media training for national nonprofits. And that's where I cooked up the idea to write my first book, Eat Vegan on $4 a Day. And this book, Vegan Fitness, is my fourth book. That's
the
short story.
You're a force of nature.
Well, third daughter, just trying to get heard, the story.
There you go. All right, Ellen, I like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
Figure out what your fitness goals are. And I can't tell you how many people will come up to me and say, do you think I could do a marathon next year? And I go, well, like, have you run any 5Ks? Have you done any half marathons? So it means coming up with a realistic plan, because so many people get the terrible twos where they want to do too much too fast and they burn out and they never want to run again, or whatever it is the sport is that they're doing.
Too much, too soon, the terrible twos. Gotcha. Well, and maybe this leads into my next question, Ellen. With all the health information and advice available, why do so many of us struggle with being healthy?
Well, part of it is there's so much information out there. I mean, the good thing about social media is the bad thing, is that there's this avalanche of information that comes at you on a second-by-second basis. And, especially as our last election has proven it, is who do you believe? What do you believe? So what I tell people is listen to the vegan doctors, the cardiologists, the oncologists, those who have been on the front lines for decades with a long, long track record of success stories. I'm just one of hundreds of star McDougallers on Dr. John McDougall's website. That's because I almost died of a colon blockage at the age of 28. All the while watching my mom, aunt, and both sisters get breast cancer. We were part of the original breast cancer gene studies. And so my life really is an experiment to beat the odds. And that's why I've used my investigative reporting skills to try and figure out what is fact and what isn't, what is true, what isn't, what works. And quite frankly, different things do work for different people. But for the most part, a low-fat, plant-based diet works for a lot of people. And in the upper age groups now where I'm competing in racing, I was actually seventh in the U.S. at 1,500 meters a few years ago at the National Senior Games, 10th in the 400 meters. This year, I'm first in Florida in the 800 and 1500 meters. And the reason I'm able to do this is because my meat-eating competitors, women, who used to beat my you-know-what 10 years ago, are not even running anymore because they're all getting injured. They're getting arthritis, which meat-eaters tend to do. And it's amazing how many people will tap me at a race and on my shoulder. They'll see my vegan shirt, and they'll go, me too, me too. So more and more people are getting this message that it really is a healthier, more energetic way to go.
So being a vegan, eating a plant-based diet, is that really for everyone? Should everyone do that?
To the extent that we're going to be forced to, I think it's a good idea. As I often joked in my cooking classes back in the days when I had time to teach them, I say, I hope you love the recipes because we're all going to be eating this way whether we want to or not. And the reason is, and there, you know, you can watch the movie Cowspiracy or a number of other documentaries that are out there now. Comfortably Unaware is a great book by Dr. Oppenlander, who writes extensively on this topic. But basically, to eat a plant-based diet consumes far fewer resources in terms of water and agricultural space than meat-eating consumption. So it's very important that from an environmental perspective that people really take a good look at this. Don't take my word for it, but just do the research on it, because it's so true how, you know, it's much healthier for the environment and certainly healthier for us. My cholesterol went from, and this is so typical, 203 eating a high-protein Atkins-type diet within 6 months, returning to a vegan diet, I went down to about 140. And anything below 150, the vegan doctors say, you're really heart attack-proof. And the reason I was doing Atkins was because I was working at Smith Barney for 5 years, very sedentary, eating all the catered meals that we were forced to eat, the working lunch pizzas and the client dinners at Morton Steakhouse. All that whole lifestyle, I really put on a huge amount of weight. And when I moved to Florida, I had hemorrhaging fibroid tumors, went to the ER a second time in my life, and the doctors there said, you need a hysterectomy right away. Got my regular OB on the phone, and she goes, Ellen, you're on a vegan diet, weren't you? Why don't you go back to that and call me in the morning? Within 3 weeks, all signs of menopause were gone, including the hot flashes, the fibroids reduced in size, and I eventually, over 6 months, lost all the weight. So, you know, it's so easy to do this, and so many doctors are seeing people like me have incredible results, loving the food, never counting calories, and then when you recover this health, and people go, well, like, what should I do for exercise? How do I ramp it up? And that's where, you know, my newest book steps in to fill that gap. Because the running books that are out there for sure are very focused on meat and dairy, which is just drives me nuts.
Okay, so let's do this. I want to get into the fitness, but first, if someone wants to go vegan, how should they transition into that?
Well, there are great websites to get you started. Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine has a Kickstart program you can jump in with. There are a number of Kickstart programs this time of year. But you don't even really need to do that. In both my first book, Eat Vegan on $4 a Day, which has every recipe priced out based on ingredients you could find at any big box store like Walmart, not recommending Walmart, but if you live below the poverty level of $23,000 a year, you're already shopping at Walmart. But it's really this simple. 2 or 3 servings a day of beans, 4 or 5 servings a day of vegetables. If you're trying to lose weight, make sure as much of that is raw as possible. And then 2 or 3 servings of fruit and 2 or 3 servings of legumes or beans.
All right, so that's a good strategy. That's a good way to get yourself into this diet. And then if you are eating meat, you slowly transition away from eating any meat or processed foods, right?
Right, and also I forgot to mention, too, 4 or 5 servings of whole grains, too, if you do want to do the grains. You know, people have gluten issues in this day and age, and I recognize that. So there are some whole grains that are gluten-free, like quinoa and brown rice. You know, those kinds of grains that can keep you. Millet is another one. So, you know, and if you have any concerns, I always recommend that people get some kind of baseline testing, because blood tests, generally speaking, don't lie. And so if you really think you have a gluten sensitivity, you can get that tested.
All right, so let's talk about fitness a little bit, Ellen. Knowing where to start is half the battle. So how do we develop a basic fitness routine for things like walking, running, biking, swimming, weightlifting, yoga? How do we do that?
Well, for each one of those sports that you just mentioned, I have in the book a beginner's, intermediate, and advanced program. And I give tips on how to figure out where you are. And it's all about perceived level of exertion and how basically out of breath you are. So, you know, one is like really easy to carry on a conversation, and 10 is you feel like you're taking your last breath kind of thing, which, you know, may or may not be normal for you. I remember when I was sprinting and training for the National Senior Games, my coach was really having me ramp it up to the point where I felt like my lungs were burning, and she kept saying, that's okay, that's normal. That's what should be happening. And I'm feeling like I'm like going to pass out at any moment. But of course, it didn't happen, and it was all good. And I think you do have to, I mean, that's kind of an extreme. Most people on the mortal level have to be monitoring sensations like that or any kind of pain that maybe flares up while you're doing an exercise. Because some people have thought in the past, you know, you go for the burn. You got to keep pushing the envelope. It's wimping out if you quit too soon. But sometimes that is what you need to do to avoid chronic injury, especially. And that's the big thing I see, is so many of these endurance athletes who are doing ultra marathons, which is anything longer than a marathon at 26.2 miles. You know, I want to say to them, where are you going to be at my age? I mean, is it really worth it to do these extreme sports to say, okay, I did that one, versus is it going to derail me to the point where I won't even be able to, as one of my dearest running friends, who was actually president of our local running club, he was stressing last year about whether he's going to be able to walk on his vacation. And he was doing marathons like every other weekend. So it takes a bit of maturity to figure out what is the best plan for you. And I'm quite serious when I say it's important not to overdo and not to try and take on too much. But, for example, running 3 or 4 times a week, really good. Take one day for sure that's a rest day, and two or three other days where you're doing cross training, like swimming or weight training. Try and space it out so that you just aren't pushing your body too much on any given day. You know, some people, if they're training for a longer race, like a half marathon or a marathon, are going to save up for that long run on the weekend as they slowly build up their mileage. But again, that should be done just very, very gradually. And there are lots of programs other than mine to get you started, of course.
And you offer, like you said, basic plans for each of the activities I just named off: walking, running, biking, swimming, etc. You know, there's a line in the book, Ellen, about finding the athlete in all of us. Is there really an athlete in all of us? How do we find it? I'm looking to find it in me.
You know, there's interesting studies. We have more endorphins running outside than we do running inside on a treadmill. And if you were that kind of person who just like looks at a treadmill as a dreadmill, you know, maybe it's time just to go for a walk outside. And no matter how cold it is, and today, I mean, I'm so old that I started running outside in the winter when Gore-Tex had just been invented. And the first Gore-Tex was running in a suit of armor. It clanked. It made the hugest noise. It was really stiff. Right. It was awful. But I just swore that's what I was going to do, because I really love being outside on a cold night, and that's the only time I could after work. But just find some place where you like to be and figure out what works for you. There are yoga classes on beaches where I live, which is a really cool thing. Swimming in a natural body of water can be a really exhilarating experience. You know, they make all kinds of snorkels and masks that make it very easy to breathe in the water if you don't like doing that. Biking, there's so many great bikes out there now, both stationary and in health clubs. They even now have a cross trainer now that's a cross between an elliptical machine and a cross-country ski machine. So you're kind of going, you're rocking back and forth while doing the elliptical movement, which is really, I find that to be quite fun. The real big part of it is mixing it up and keeping it interesting. So if you're somebody who is getting bored by whatever it is you're doing, you've got something different to do on a variety of days. The other thing is I'm also working out with a personal trainer myself, really trying to get up in gear for the National Senior Games next summer. And this guy was a Navy SEAL, and he's my age, and he tells me that he doesn't get to work with too many clients like me who are this fit, but we're doing all kinds of wild and crazy things, and that just keeps it interesting. And the other part of it is he's working with, because everybody has, different biomechanical imbalances. I had untreated scoliosis. I have mitral valve prolapse, although last time I went to a cardiologist, he says, you have the heart of a 21-year-old, keep running. So, you know, we all have these issues that we can use as excuses, but generally most things can be overcome. You know, at the 5K that I ran this weekend, just as a quick example, I was in the bathroom kind of whining to one of my friends. It's like, everybody in my age group is here from Sarasota. I'm probably not going to place in this race, although I did. I placed third. But I was standing in line in the bathroom, and there were two girls who looked to be in their 20s ahead of me, and one of them was missing an arm and a leg. Another one was missing an arm. And I just thought to myself, Ellen, you need to shut up. Just shut up. And by the way, those girls, they ran the race.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Yeah. And that's inspiration right there, and perspective all at once when you see someone like that. That's for sure. So I love how you say, though, you get more endorphins, or you release more endorphins when you work out outside. That's interesting.
Yeah, there's even a study called Eco Nature that talks about how what happens to us when we go outside. And you know, we've certainly seen it in seasonal affective disorder with people who get really depressed in the northern climes who aren't getting enough sunlight. So, you know, it's interesting that it plays out in the way we exercise, too. We really are meant to be outside at least a small portion of the day, if not a large portion of the day, because that's how we have evolved.
Yeah, and even that walk can be beneficial after dinner. Get outside and walk around the block for 15, 20 minutes, and even that can be very beneficial. I just want to quickly ask you also, can you share a few tips for avoiding injury? I know you briefly touched on that about people overdoing it, and then they take themselves out of the game. And I don't want, you know, I don't want my listener to get sidelined right away. So do you have any quick tips for avoiding injury?
So there are all these great warm-up and cool-down exercises that I recommend doing. And if you have the book, Vegan Fitness for Mortals, and you hold your phone over the QR codes that are at various sections in the book, it will take you right to my YouTube videos where I'm demonstrating all these different exercises.
Well, it's really nice that you offer those things. I love the sport-specific warm-ups, which I think could be really beneficial because you got to warm up the correct muscles before you do the activity. So I think that's very beneficial and really nice that you offer that, Ellen. Well, coming up, we get the high five from Ellen Jaffe Jones. And if I could ask a favor, I have one simple goal for this podcast. I want people to walk away with something they've heard to improve their life, to make their life better, to have more joy in their life. So if you could, right after the interview, jump over to iTunes, rate and review the podcast. By that way, we gain a wider audience, we're heard by more people, and it gives us a chance to help more people. And that's really what we want to try to do on this podcast. The High Five with Ellen is next. Which Way is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way is Life for your free audio book. Which Way is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. Now, you probably already use sea salt on your food because you know of its health benefits, but is your salt real? Take a look at the ingredients panel. You might be surprised by what's inside. A lot of salts contain fillers, anti-caking chemicals, even dextrose, which is a type of sugar. So you want a salt like Real Salt that hasn't been stripped of its minerals or had chemicals added. Real Salt. You get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt. That's real. Real Salt brand sea salt. Find it at your local health food store or go to realsalt.com. Time for the high five with Ellen Jaffe Jones, my guest today. Ellen, are you ready?
I am.
Okay, question number one. Knowing what you know now about life and sport and fitness, about proper nutrition, what advice would you give your younger self?
Go vegan way sooner than you did.
Start earlier.
Yeah. Back then, we just didn't know. We just didn't know anything.
You know, that's true. And as we evolve, we learn and know these things. That's for sure. Okay, question number two. What's the best piece of advice you were ever given along the way?
Never give up.
You just got to keep pushing through. And sometimes when you're faced with something that's it's challenging in your life, don't give up pushing through it. That's where you're really going to learn about yourself and grow.
Right.
Question number three. What inspires you most in everyday life?
Probably my three daughters, because the genetic odds are one of the four of us gets breast cancer. And that has motivated me with everything that I do, because I have seen in my life so much needless, preventable pain and suffering, not only with the humans that I know, but of course with the animals. And with all the YouTube videos and all kinds of videos out there now, we can't stick our heads in the sand and pretend that we don't see. We know what's happening to animals, not only on factory farms, but supposedly humane farms. I mean, there really are. The whole humane myth thing is just that. It's a myth. And we can't agree to pay somebody else to do something to an animal that we ourselves are not willing to do.
Right. Good point. Question number four. What's your favorite fitness gadget or gear that you can share with us?
Oh, one can never have too many toys, right? but my favorite is my Garmin Forerunner. I've had the Forerunner series since they were invented, I think, because I am so old that I kept track of the old days by driving a car and then figuring out how far I had run after that. So the Garmin, and there are many sports watches out there now that are GPS-enabled. In fact, today I'm actually expecting the delivery of the Apple Watch, because Apple's watch now has GPS on it. But the cool thing is that, you know, it talks to the apps on your phone, and you can, the Garmin Connect has all of my running since they started their online presence with that. So I think at least 7, 8, maybe 9 years, I can look back and see how fast I ran at a 5K 10 years ago, which is very cool to be able to do that. And also now the technology is so cool. The Garmin and other watches, I think the Apple Watch also does this. It measures your heart rate on the back of the watch. And I have had this compared to, I was in my doctor's office and he compared it to his stethoscope and it was right on.
Mm, how about that? All right, well, that's a great tip. And we're going to put information about the Garmin and the Apple Watch. We'll put that on the show notes page at RadioMD.com. And last question, Ellen, number five. Do you have a favorite quote you can share with us?
When you understand there's no money in broccoli, then you understand why you have to be your own investigative reporter like I was to figure out the truth about food. There's no corporation that makes it, no association, no broccoli lobby or organization, a company that makes broccoli. So you really have to figure out what's true and what isn't.
There's no money in broccoli. That sounds like it could be a title of maybe your next book. Ellen, thank you so much for being on with me today. How can we connect with you?
You can find me on my website, vegcoach.com. I admin 12 pages on Facebook, including Vegan Runners. Each title of my book is a Facebook page, so Eat Vegan on $4 a Day. That's one. Kitchen Divided, that's two. Paleo Vegan, I wrote that, that's three. And I also have a vegan sex page, which is going to be one of my next books also.
The vegan sex book. Oh, my. How about that? All
it's
right.
It's all about and, blood flow.
Well, there you have it. That's true. And make sure you check out her new book, Vegan Fitness for Mortals. Ellen, thank you again. And if I could, I'm going to share with you one of my favorite quotes. I end all of my shows this way, and I like this one. Enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Ellen, thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes, on my show page at RadioMD.com, or wherever you are listening to this podcast. And if I could ask a favor, please take 30 seconds and rate the podcast on iTunes. Jump over to iTunes, rate and review the show. By doing that, we gain a wider audience, and it gives us a chance to help more people, which this podcast is all about. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter and Facebook. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well. Mm-hmm.